720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios. What's going on with this song right here? That's very strange. I thought we'd play some Cars for the Cars. There's a new show coming up on Discovery that's really entertaining called Rods and Wheels. It premieres this coming Monday. It follows two buddies in Southern California who run the Rod Shop and restore vintage cars and hot rods. And we'd like to welcome to the show, it's Billy Sr. Billy, thanks for coming on. How you doing, my friend?
What's up, Pete? I'm doing better than you. You were up at what? Was it 1 o'clock in the morning? And did I hear it's 0 degrees where you're living, dude?
Yeah, man, it's zero in Chicago. What is it in Southern California?
You know, if I tell you, everybody's going to be pissed off.
Come on, tell me.
It's 78 degrees, turquoise blue skies, and I was actually hunting for a 69 Barracuda down at the beach today with my shorts. That's what I'm saying.
Why do we live?
That's not TV talk. That's real.
Why do we live in Chicago during the wintertime? I just don't get it, man.
Because people are probably classy and they're not the same as the West Coast, you know, where we have zero culture. That's why.
Where do you get these cars? You said you were hunting for a what? What year? A 69 Barracuda?
I'm looking for a 69 Barracuda today. A very specific car that a client wants, a Hemi Cuda. And so I got a few leads and I'm out sniffing around with my son, Billy Jr., who isn't so junior when you watch the show. You'll see how big this kid is.
Well, what do you consider a vintage car? How old does it have to be?
Well, you know what? It's probably parameters if you look on Wikipedia.
Okay.
But as far as I'm concerned, you know, for me, a vintage car is anything that's over, say, 30 years old. So that would even put us in some of the early 80s cars vintage to me. A lot of people will say 50 years old for what they call a classic car.
Okay.
You know, there's really no guidelines for it. I will tell you this. We're more enthusiastic about certain cars than others. I mean, if it's pre-1969, we're pretty excited at the shop.
Well, how does it work? Somebody calls you up and says, hey, I need this car, or do you go out and find them to restore them and then sell them, or how does it work with you guys?
Well, you know what? It's kind of an anomaly what I was doing today, so I don't want to throw you off base here. What happens is people come in our shop. We're one of the most prolific, busiest shops in Southern California. We always have a backlog of 50 cars for restoration, knock on wood, because of my big mouth. We got a lot of action. So people will come in everywhere from, you know, a leaky transmission to a full, complete restoration. We do hot rod modifications and things. But what's been happening on our series, which is what's so interesting and is real, is that my son Billy and my partner Steve's son Shane have got off the broom and mop, and we finally let them go out and start to flip cars. So the two boys are really learning how to sniff out cars and find the right vehicle to turn over and make a little profit. And in the meantime, we're, you know, learning work ethic from the old men.
How long have you been restoring cars, Billy?
I've been doing it since I was literally 5 years old. My dad had a piece of sandpaper in my hand when I was five, and I learned it from the ground up. I grew up in a hot rod family in Orange County, California. But professionally, off and on since I'm 15 years old, and you know, really doing it for a living probably the last dozen years or so.
So you were that kid in high school. We went over to your house, and you had a car in the garage that you were fixing up.
Yeah, I was a guy that had a bummer ride all through my senior year because my 69 Cougar was on blocks, and it just was never done. I think my buddies think, you know, like when a guy says he has a hot girlfriend and they never get to see her. It was like my friends thought I didn't really have a car, but I did. I had a 69 Cougar, and I got it summer of my senior year. I got it all done, and it was trick.
I want to say that I had the 84 Cougar. We called it the John Cougar, you know, with the really long hood.
I know exactly the car. Yeah, did you have that beautiful gluon vinyl over metal top too?
Of course, yes.
Great.
Yes, and someone ripped it and it started to fold up. But my question is, those old cars, like from the 80s, the floorboards always rotted out. I remember growing up, we had three different cars that had a hole in the floor. Why did that happen?
Well, first of all, I'm assuming you lived on the East Coast when you were a kid, so you got salt, right?
Clearly. Well, I lived in Chicago, grew up in Peoria, so we had salt and snow, yeah.
Got it. Well, we don't have quite as much rust in the floorboards, but, you know, cars that were like post-79 started to get really thin. I mean, that's when we started to compete with the Asian markets for pricing on cars.
Mm-hmm.
So even on American cars, we started thinning up the gauge of metal. So, you know, thinner metal, more rust, end of story.
That's it right there. I mean, I remember my father bought a 1978 LTD station wagon with the country squire, you know.
Ford LTD.
Yeah, the paneling.
Ford LTD.
That thing.
460 in it.
That thing was a full metal jacket tank, man. It was a tank.
Yeah, those are great. Those are the cars now that they use for the demolition derbies. Seriously.
I bet our car is still around to this day.
Probably. Probably out mashing up on the derbies on Saturday night, man.
Right.
Hey, Billy, I grew up, my dad worked at the only specialty trans shop on the south side of Chicago, and he did all the race cars in town. And his dream car that he always drooled over was a 71 Mustang Fastback. What's your dream car?
Wow. Okay, seriously. That people have been asking me that all week long, and that is so hard. That's like asking what your favorite food is. So let me say the first thing that comes to mind. Okay, it's not a hot rod, but I really like the 59 Cadillac with the big fins and those bullet taillights.
I love it.
Because to me, I'm also a kid of the aerospace era here in California. And so to me, that car looks like it's firing up its afterburners while it's sitting still. I mean, it's so inspired by that aerospace movement of the late 50s. That, for me, is a gorgeous car. And I have one. And that is my favorite car in the whole wide world. You know, you can do a lot with that car. You can drop it down as a sled. You can build a flat black hot rod, rat rod out of it. I mean, the 59 Caddy to me is the epitome probably of all cars.
I love the old Cadillacs, man.
They're sick. They're really sick.
Do you look up to a guy like Jay Leno? Like, is Jay Leno like a god of cars, or are you in a different realm than he is?
Well, I mean, certainly in a different tax bracket, right? But the thing is, of course we look up to him, and here's why. Here's why Jay Leno has really been respected in the automotive world. He brings in the unique, the cars that aren't so cool. I mean, of course he has the cool cars. I mean, he has the Shelby cars, and he has the Cobras, and he has, you know, one-off Copo Camaros, but he also will bring in, you know, the first steam-powered race car, and, you know, jet engine cars and prototypes. So this guy, I would say, is the epitome of automotive enthusiast. And then the great thing is that he has the money to actually do something with it, and he shares those cars. I mean, you can go see his cars if you want. You can also, he'll drive them. You'll see him driving around, you know, 1930s fighter goggles on, driving one of his old Duesenbergs. I mean, he loves and uses his cars, so what's not to like about it?
You know, Seinfeld is the same way. He's got tons of cars.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Jerry, a little less approachable than Jay.
Right.
And Seinfeld is a huge car collector. And same with guys like Tim Allen, right? Tim Allen, not only a car collector, he's a race car driver as well.
Right. Do you race cars, Billy?
You know, I have. I don't have my pro card, but I have bracket race. I have track race, and I have drag race. I don't do it anymore. As I get older, I think that my nerves are a little not quite as strong. So
right.
My tolerance for risk and my fear of death is becoming healthy finally. I don't race any.
We're talking with Billy. The show is called Rods and Wheels. It's debuts on Discovery this coming Monday. What are you restoring right now? What do you have in the shop right now?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, we got a few that are going to be shown on the show that we're wrapping up, so I can't tell you those. Those are top secret. But we have a 48 Cadillac that's been in there forever and ever and ever that has a great story. It's a one-off car. The owner passed away, and his daughter sold it. And his daughter comes from out of state to visit the car just to see the progress, even though she sold the car. We have a couple of Woodies. We have a few Camaros in there. We've got an old Ford Torino, a 69 Ford Torino with a 351 Cleveland that was made in Canada. It's a rare edition Canadian model. We got it. We run the gamut. We got everything. We got old off-road Bronco in there. So a little, and every day it's something new.
I mean, the 1948 Cadillac. Jeez, man. I wouldn't even know what that looks like. I'm going to have to Google that.
Yeah, it's huge. It's. I don't think it's particularly beautiful, the lines. I mean, of course, a lot of people argue with me. But it's not very linear. It's from the late 40s era where everything was real bulky and rounded. You know, it looks to me like some sort of cartoon car. It's, for me, that car has been there for a year. And for me, it's kind of a thorn in my side because it sits where three regular cars could sit. And Steve and I, my partner, fight over it constantly because I can get three cars with that giant Cadillac sitting, you know, and I can make more money.
I love the old Cadillacs. My grandparents used to say it seemed like they bought a new one every year. That was the thing, what people did in the 70s and 80s, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got the new year model. And back in the day, I think in the 40s, 50s, 60s, the models every year looked so different. Mm-hmm. There was really design cues that were so different. Nowadays, they run the same model year for 3 to 5 years, so there's really no reason to buy another one, and that's probably why the three-year lease exists, right?
Yes, exactly, man. And we have the auto show coming to town in a week and a half, and I love going to see, you know, they have the muscle car section, but, you know, you go and see the Ferraris because you never get a chance to see them.
Right. I mean, well, in California, we got a lot of them because the weather's good, so they drive them. So you can just go to Beverly Hills or Rodeo and watch all the mucky-mucks cruising around. They're exotic.
Right. But they're not practical, man. How do you put?
No, absolutely not. And anybody who eats meat can't sit in the seat either. You know what I mean?
Right. And how do you put groceries in there? Is there a trunk?
No. Yeah, there's a trunk in the front, I believe. But that's where your fancy luggage goes.
Right. I mean, that's crazy. And you also restore hot rods. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do a lot. We do a lot of hot rods. So you know, everything's from the 1932 roadsters to the three windows to rat rods, mid 40s rat rods to lots of muscle cars. I mean, there's a ton in Simi Valley of muscle cars and classics. Matter of fact, we're in a little town. It's called Simi Valley. 100,000 people, considered little, considering that we're like 30 miles from Los Angeles. But it has. We've been told it has more classic and hot rods per capita than any other city. And it's got more cops per capita, too. So it's kind of, you know, it makes for an interesting combination when you're doing burnouts all day.
Sure.
So do you judge people's car loves? Like, I learned how to drive stick on a 1974 Volkswagen Beetle. And it was my dad's,
right.
And he took me around the block once, and then he said, hey, take it out, learn how to drive stick, bring it back in one piece. And that is a car that I dream to own again. And it's, you know, it only cost me $5,000. But, you know, do you judge us who enjoy a Volkswagen Beetle?
No. And you know what? You're leading me into something. You're trying to get my secrets out. But we have a little surprise, a little German surprise in our series. So I don't know what episode it is yet, but there's a little German surprise. And I'll just give you a teaser. Classic car. German electric. That's all I'm going to say, and I probably said too much.
Really?
Yeah, and that's it, man. That's all I'm saying. Seriously, Pete. I like you, but that's it.
You know what? I can appreciate cars, and I think this is great. The series is called Rods and Wheels. You can check it out Monday night on Discovery. Billy, good luck with the series, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Pete, and keep loving your cars, man.
All right, thanks, brother. It's 720 WGN.